Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Joe Consorti, joined today by Nick Bhatia and Senator Cynthia Lummis of Wyoming to conduct the first interview about the Bitcoin Act of 2024, her newly proposed legislation. Senator, thanks so much for coming on.
It's my pleasure, Joe, and it's great to see Nick Bhatia, who I've known for a long time and have great respect for.
Senator, thank you so much for joining us today. We're really excited to have you and talk about this exciting new legislative proposal.
Absolutely. So the first things first, I want to ask about the reasons behind the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve and the Bitcoin Act of 2024 is actually an acronym, Boosting Innovation, Technology, and Competitiveness Through Optimized Investment Nationwide Act of 2024. Personally, I love that. I think it's the first step in what is going to truly kick off a global Bitcoin allocation race among global superpowers. And so Bitcoin obviously still being an asset in its infancy, just $1.3 trillion in size, the U.S. would be one of the first movers in developing a formal allocation and long-term storage strategy. So how long has Congress understood that this is a special once-in-a-lifetime asset that deserves its own legislation to allocate to at the federal level? And, you know, when and how did Congress get to that point?
Well, Congress is still learning about Bitcoin, and there are still a lot of people who don't understand the unique qualities of Bitcoin that makes it a very hard asset and store of value. So we will be continuing to differentiate the qualities of Bitcoin versus other digital assets and cryptocurrencies as we educate them about this bill. The reason I wanted to do this is the whole time I've been in Congress, first 8 years in the House and now almost four in the Senate, I've been worried about the national debt. Now, we just passed $35 trillion in national debt. We don't have a plan to address it. We know we're at about 120% debt to GDP. We know that once countries get to 130% of debt to GDP, that the red lights start flashing and that we're getting in trouble. And so it's high time that we had a plan to reverse that. So that is why we have focused this bill on addressing the debt.
The Bitcoin Layer is presented by Unchained, the leader in Bitcoin financial services. Unchained empowers you to take full control of your Bitcoin with a collaborative multi-sig vault where you hold two of three keys and benefit from a Bitcoin security partner. Purchase Bitcoin directly into your cold storage and eliminate exchange risks with Unchained's trading desk. Unchained also offers the best IRA in the industry, easily allowing you to roll over your existing 401ks and IRAs into Bitcoin while still keeping control of your keys. Don't pay more in taxes than you have to. Talk to them today. Visit unchained.com/TBL and use code TBL for $100 off when you create an account.
Absolutely. So that answers kind of why is now the right time. We just passed $35 trillion in debt on Monday. We're running a 6.5% deficit, 125% debt to GDP. It seems like about time we start reaching across the aisle trying to find a solution for that. I want to dive into the bill itself in section two, and thank you so much for sending this our way. Nick and I have been poring over this because we really want to understand it so our viewers can. In section two, the declaration of policy, you kind of outline three different reasons, three different things that Bitcoin can do for our country. The first one is securing and diversifying our balance sheet. The second one is hedging against economic, monetary, and fiscal problems. And the third is strengthening our reserve currency position. So I suppose we'll break those up individually. As of right now, our balance sheet, gold is one of the largest risk-off assets in the world, one of our largest assets that we own. It's $16.5 trillion in size. And in the bill, you noted that it served as a cornerstone of national financial security. And in the same way, U.S. Treasuries are also deep, very liquid. Everyone around the world uses them, and they're $27 trillion in size. And so we've said at the Bitcoin Layer that Bitcoin belongs in that risk-off category, but since it's such a new asset, people prefer to trade it like a stock. And it sounds like that's still something you're grappling with, explaining to people even in Congress. And so what does it mean for Bitcoin now that it is being held in the same regard as gold in U.S. Treasuries, potentially on the United States balance sheet?
Well, it's important that we have some hard assets that grow in value over time, as opposed to the U.S. dollar that is by design depreciating 2% per year or more. Yes, we have over 5% of the world's gold. The goal here is to add another very hard asset, Bitcoin, at about $1 million in accumulation of Bitcoin over 5 years. That would also be about 5% of the total world Bitcoin, because there's only going to be 21 million ever obtained. And so the goal here is to have those two hard assets be sort of the backbone of the U.S. dollar. So there's something backing the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency besides more debt. Because right now our debt instruments that back the U.S. dollar are backed by more debt instruments. And we know that the biggest holder of U.S. debt, Japan, it has begun to sell U.S. Dollars, U.S. treasuries, rather. And so we're, if, just in case Japan sees rough waters ahead for U.S. treasuries and other countries follow Japan in their concern, we need a more diversified asset allocation. And that includes having hard assets like gold at mark-to-market rates on our balance sheet, and Bitcoin at mark-to-market rates on our balance sheet, so we can show the world that we have in reserve hard assets that are valuable and that should assure them that the U.S. dollar is still the appropriate fiat currency to serve as the world reserve asset.
We think it's important that Bitcoin is identified alongside gold, because in that way we can show that these are two commodities, and these commodities, you mentioned the mark to market or the lack of the US government marking to market its gold holdings. If it actually did that, plus acquired 1 million Bitcoin, approximately 5% of the supply, it could really show on its asset side of the balance sheet such strength. So I'm assuming that in the asset declaration, you're supporting that this idea can help strengthen the dollar itself. Maybe the actual price of the dollar or the perception of the dollar worldwide. So is it a little bit of both, Senator?
It is. Personally, I'm more interested in the perception. But I think that they're both important components of adding Bitcoin to our balance sheet. And putting our balance sheet on actual mark-to-market values. For example, we hold gold at the price it was set at in the 1970s. And so the thinking that we have about this is, we don't want to trade gold, the hard asset we do have, for the other hard asset, Bitcoin, but we do want to convert gold certificates, just like an IOU, from the 1970 price to the 2024 price, which is like $2,400, and then change the gold certificates for dollars and dollars for Bitcoin. So we still are holding the hard asset gold, but gold certificates would be converted to Bitcoin, so we have more hard assets. Now, currently, the U.S. has about 1% of all of the world's Bitcoin, but it's held as a asset forfeiture asset. So if we moved it into what I call cold storage, where it is tied up for 20 years and then acquire 4% more of the Bitcoin in the world, we would be holding 5% of the Bitcoin that will ever be produced for 20 years in cold storage. If we did that at the values we project Bitcoin to grow, we could cut our national debt in half in 20 years. And right now, no one has a plan for attacking the U.S. debt. And so this would be a way to show the world that we know we've got a problem. Our debt to GDP is a problem. We have shown as no appetite to reduce spending. We have entitlement programs that 10 or 11 years from now will be in the red, and that we need to start addressing these essential matters. So the first one is to do the underpinning, shore up the US dollar as the world reserve asset, and do it through the acquisition and retention of Bitcoin, and take advantage of the growth we expect over over 20 years. Bitcoin really has grown over time at a overall rate in its 15-year existence of about 55% per year. Now, while maybe it's not realistic projection-wise to expect that continued high level of growth, it is realistic to expect 40%, and then later it to drop to maybe 30 and 20. But under no projections that I've seen, does it ever drop to a level that other assets are expected to either grow at or decline at. And since the US dollar itself is designed to decline about 2% per year, we know it will outperform the US dollar.
But we think it's so innovative to propose this type of legislation to address the debt, to address technological innovation in the United States, to address accounting flaws in the way that central banks and treasury departments are even set up and approach commodities. So we're very excited about this. You mentioned private key cold storage. Mm-hmm. It's an excellent segue. The bill talks about a decentralized network of storage, 5 storage facilities distributed across the country. So are these keys being distributed from a military perspective? Can you guide us through how you're proposing we store private keys as a nation?
Yeah, I think it will be helpful for us to learn from you and from industry leaders about the most secure way to store that can possibly exist. Now, multi-signature certainly it would be a must. How many multi-sigs, who should hold them, who should hold the keys, those are all things that we need to flesh out. And there are so many success stories about the successful use of multi-signature public keys, private keys, that we'll look at the very best of the best examples that are out there and even try to enhance them.
Fantastic. Yeah, within the bill itself, it states the secretary shall establish a decentralized network of secure Bitcoin storage facilities distributed across the United States, collectively to be known as a strategic Bitcoin reserve. And so it sounds like you are taking on the core ethos of decentralization in Bitcoin in the way that you're distributing these keys, right? It's not being held up at one facility. How important to you is it to ensure that the Bitcoin keys are sufficiently distributed geographically and otherwise?
Well, it is, as you point out, the nature of this asset of being decentralized itself. We think one of the security features for a strategic Bitcoin reserve is that it not all be held in one location, that it be held in a decentralized manner with multi-signature, cold storage, wallets. And so it's not held by in a custodial type way, that it's held more like a private Bitcoin wallet.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are many possibilities with this. You've already said you're going to distribute the keys. And so the setup for the SBR really could be anything. It could be a set of multi-sig wallets all of the keys distributed across these facilities in some random way that you decide internally, such that even if one or many of the keys, God forbid, were to be able to be compromised, the SBR still couldn't be cracked amidst all of it. And I love how that language was included in the bill itself.
It's pivotal. It's going to take some education around Congress to assure people that the way that we have designed this decentralized approach, the five geographically disparate wallets, if you will, and how multi-sig works, public and private keys, and how that system has served the test of time as it has been used by the Bitcoin community, and how that can be replicated in the manner in which the strategic Bitcoin reserve is held. Heavy lift education-wise, because there are still senators and House members that look askance at Bitcoin and don't even know the difference between Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. So we've got a lot of education to do, but that's why we wanted to file it now, get it out there, get people talking about it, trying to understand it, getting feedback from industry leaders, thought leaders, academics, about why this is a good idea and why this is a secure means to hold up Bitcoin strategic reserve.
And I think about it from a strategic perspective. When we think about the United States holding petroleum, why does it do that? Because we might actually need the crude oil, the gasoline, because we can't import it because of a blockade. That is what national security and strategic initiatives are about from that perspective. So we own gold and we still have gold. Why haven't we sold gold? Because there's a strategic value to it, even though, as you mentioned, the Treasury and the Fed aren't even explicitly acknowledging those advantages. This bill addresses that. But Bitcoin can be strategic. Why? Because if you have Bitcoin as a country and some other party, whether it be another nation or another actor, demands Bitcoin as payment, and it is advantageous to you as the United States to secure that good or service, you have to have Bitcoin. You can't at that point go out into the market and try to scramble and purchase it. You need to have it from a strategic perspective. So are you suggesting this type of activity to your fellow congressmen when you talk about why the United States strategically needs Bitcoin?
I like comparing it to the strategic oil reserve for the very reasons you described, Nick. It's something with which congressmen are familiar, and they can begin to equate to that. I mean, why did we acquire the Louisiana Purchase? Was it a good value? And if you go back and monetize that purchase or monetize the purchase of Alaska, of course, those were strategically important acquisitions. We're trying to draw some parallels between those massive land acquisitions and the strategic oil reserve and our gold reserves at Fort Knox. We even try to, in some conversations, call this Fort Satoshi, because we're trying to explain that this is like Fort Knox, that this is a hard, cold asset being stored in a manner in which it cannot be broken into, compromised, forged. It is in solid cold storage.
Fantastic. A digital Fort Knox sounds pretty good to me. Sounds pretty good to me. So we talked about the Bitcoin purchase program. You offered some details. I have one question about that, and then we'll move into proof of reserves, which I think is one of the most important aspects that people will definitely want to learn about. So after this 20-year minimum holding period, does the Treasury Secretary get to recommend to Congress whether to continue holding or to sell? And if so, is there a limit to what we're allowed to sell over a given period just to minimize market impact?
Yeah, I don't want to think beyond 20 years. And the Congress could be recommending something at that point to the Treasury, or the Treasury could recommend to the Congress. I would hope that if this asset performs the way that experts believe it will, that its value to back the US dollar would be self-evident, that its ability to reduce the debt would be self-evident, and that those people that are in charge of our country at that time would be in a position to decide what is the better approach, to reduce debt or to hold and let it continue to increase in value and just literally be digital gold to back up the US dollar. I don't want to tie future leaders' hands too much, other than to try to keep their mitts off it for 20 years so they can actually see the benefits of holding on for dear life.
Fantastic. So let's shift gears here into the proof of reserve system. So the bill states that it will establish a quarterly proof of reserve system of public cryptographic attestation. That's the verbiage that's used in the bill. And it talks about these quarterly reports, including detailed info on total holdings, transactions, and also demonstrated control of private keys in the SBR. And it'll also make these available on an official website, as well as there will be a third-party auditor who actually goes in and audits these cryptographic attestations. So proof of reserves, as is colloquially understood, means publishing the wallet address or addresses, and obviously that's yet to be determined, depending on what key structure we end up holding the SBR in. But the question for me is, will the SBR's proof of reserves include these wallet addresses so that people can view it with real-time transparency, in line with Bitcoin's ethos of don't trust, verify?
Great question. We want to ensure that verification is as clear and complete as it can be without compromising security of the asset in any way. So that's the short answer. But I think it's also the most important way to look at this. We want the public to be able to be assured that the Bitcoin is there, and that they are able to know the rate of acquisition, the rate of growth in the asset, and how it shores up our balance sheet. I didn't even know that our gold was held on our books at its 1970s value. And I don't think most people know that. So I think for transparency purposes, it's good to be able to show people what that asset is worth in today's dollars, mark-to-market dollars, and that the same be true of Bitcoin. As much public transparency as continues to protect the integrity of the holdings is what we'll be trying to achieve.
Of course. And there's certainly a balance to be struck there, right? Making sure that security is paramount, but that transparency also comes to the fore. Because like you mentioned, it would go a long way in building trust with the American public, and even a good introduction to the uninitiated, many of whom still are, even in Congress, so that they can understand how Bitcoin works, how transparent it can be.
Exactly.
Perfect. So the last thing I want to talk about here before I can ask closing remarks is offsetting the cost of the strategic Bitcoin reserve. So that's included in Section 10. The final section of the bill outlines financial adjustments that will be needed to fund the SBR. And they include surplus funds, as well as Fed bank remittances, gold certificates, which you mentioned earlier, and other conforming amendments. I suppose just explaining in a simple way for the viewers who might look at something as monumental as 1 million Bitcoin, how would we fund the SBR and where will the funds come from?
Okay. Well, the good news is it doesn't come from taxes. It comes from existing holdings that don't have the same hard asset qualities that Bitcoin does. So gold certificates are not gold bricks. We want to keep our gold. We want to be able to take gold certificates, convert them to US dollars, convert the US dollars to Bitcoin, and hold in reserve. And then if there are other excess reserves that make sense for asset diversification purposes to convert to Bitcoin and put in cold storage, those could be accessed as well. So we think that the 5-year time frame for the acquisition of a million Bitcoin, roughly, you know, 200,000 a year, or 1% roughly of all the Bitcoin that will ever be produced, it is reasonable, doable, and can be done with assets we already hold. But the assets we hold are not nearly as durable, immutable, or valuable because of their lack of scarcity. It is this 21 million scarcity of Bitcoin that derives, from which it derives most of its value. So that's why we laid it out the way we did. Now, we can learn from other people about what they had in mind and what their thoughts are. For example, RFK spoke at Bitcoin 2024. He proposed a much larger strategic Bitcoin reserve, presumably because when you start getting into the 3.5 to 4 million Bitcoin range, then you're talking about eliminating the entire debt in 20 years. We decided to take a more conservative approach. Although, you know, if you're looking at the ability to limit the entire national debt in 20 years, who's being more conservative? Maybe it's RFK, in that he recognizes that Bitcoin's potential growth far exceeds all the other assets of which we know. So these are the kinds of discussions that are going to be a lot of fun between now and the end of the year, and that I really think will make it as robust a program as we can.
So the final question here that I have for you is more of a call to action, right? You have a microphone. What message do you have for those across party lines who see the problem, they see our debt situation and share in our concern, but they don't see Bitcoin as a viable way to correct it? What message do you have for those people?
Well, Bitcoin is a neutral asset. Just like the internet itself is a neutral technology, Bitcoin is a neutral technology. It was developed from a white paper using cryptography and algorithms to set out an organized manner in which energy can be converted to Bitcoin. So really, as has always been the case throughout the history of the world, energy can be converted into things that add richness and value to our lives. And the same is true of Bitcoin. This is not a partisan asset. This is a very neutral asset. And furthermore, because it's scarce, it's durable, it's immutable, and it is distributed. I mean, everyone who has a node, which is just a computer that holds the entire Bitcoin blockchain, has access to the entire blockchain. So if at some point a node were to be breached, there are thousands of other nodes around the world that store the whole Bitcoin blockchain. This is a very secure asset. And so as I use this opportunity to teach my legislative colleagues about the elements and qualities of Bitcoin that make this asset so hard, so valuable, that make it digital gold. I want, my call to action would be, help me explain. Call your senators or write to your senators and your representatives. Explain why this is important, that failing to address our national debt by either backing it up with hard assets or reducing it somehow puts this nation's currency at risk as the world reserve currency, and really puts our leadership in the world at risk. So this is a call to action because our debt to GDP now exceeds 120%. We're getting in the danger zone. This is unsustainable. From everyone from the Fed chairman to the White House to members of Congress know that this is unsustainable. And we have to address this. And for me, I've been looking for ways to address this through the 8 years that I was in the House and now the four in the U.S. Senate and many years in between. This is the very first thing that I have been able to find that I could say, this is it. This will work. And so I need help explaining why this will work, why this is so important. And if we take this step, it's a game changer. It's a game changer for our country. We get to remain the world's most secure, most important, most innovative, most thoughtful country on earth. And that's worth pursuing. And it can't happen soon enough. You know, there's a saying that the best time to plant a tree is yesterday. And that can also be said for this. The best time to create a Bitcoin reserve is yesterday. So we've got to get after it. This is a game changer.
Absolutely. Senator Lummis, can't thank you enough for your time. In terms of calling your senator, my senator is Elizabeth Warren, so that might be a little bit difficult. But one day we'll get her around. It will. It's going to be a tough sell. But, you know, with the education that we provide and the education that this interview and I know you will provide to your colleagues, I have a feeling the Bitcoin Act of 2024 will be passed into law soon enough. Senator, thanks so much for joining Nick and I on this episode of The Bitcoin Layer.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Nick.